proposed amendments. Mr. LaCates, would you like to run through these? Would you like me to do that, or? No, I don't. As you probably have seen, if you read this, many of the changes relate to giving authority to the county administrator to approve certain things that the original ordinance required council to approve. I think the steering committee's recommendation was that it would be a lot easier and a lot quicker if Mr. Baker could approve these items rather than having to bring each of these issues to council. And 72-4, that's just taking paragraph G out of the Declaration of Public Policy. The real heart of this thing gets over to, 72-7B. Right. It removes the fee waivers, and it says that any project that enters the program will be allowed to use the density permitted by the zoning district in which the property is located, provided that total density, including the moderately priced housing unit incentives, the density incentives would not exceed 12 units per acre. Then in 72-8J, that amendment requires that the MPHU units would not be substantially different in appearance from the non-MPHU units. And when they are part of a phased development, it would require that a proportionate number or percentage of the units would be placed within each phase and constructed within each housing type appearing in the development to prevent the MPHU units from being isolated or clustered or being a different or a cheaper appearing construction type. Then in 72-8K on page 3, there's a proposed amendment that would allow an applicant who is approved to not only have a first mortgage lien, but to have a second mortgage lien if the second lien is approved by the first mortgage lender. And if the proceeds of the second mortgage lien are used solely to pay the down payment and or a portion of the settlement charges. Also, there was an amendment regarding the who was it?
Land.
Oh, a definition.
Yeah.
Qualifying land. That's back on page 2. As you might recall, the original ordinance said that qualifying land would be land that was in a town center, a developing area, or an environmentally sensitive developing area. This proposed amendment would add land that is designated on a town's comprehensive plan as lying within the town's growth and future annexation area. And this change was prompted by an application that we had that was near the town of Georgetown but did not qualify as a town center or an environmentally sensitive developing area. And that project is within the town of Georgetown's growth and annexation area. Any questions from council regarding these proposed amendments? Okay. Mr. Baker, do you have anything to add?
I would just like to note that we do have some members of the committee here today. Marlena and Gina are here, and of course Bill, and Bill also has with him our new acting housing coordinator who will work with this program, Brandy Bennett, and she's right here next to Bill, and I think she won. I don't know if she had a speech prepared or.
Is there anything anyone else would like to add to the introductory comments I gave?
You mean Bill or somebody in the staff? You mean,
right? A member of the committee or Mr. LaCates?
No, they were recommendations that we worked on for council.
about several meetings, and there were changes that we thought were necessary to keep the ordinance updated.
We'll open it up now to public comment. Is there anyone here from the public? It's Mr. Kramer. Would you come forward, please?
My name is Dan Kramer. What's wrong with this ordinance? What does the state law say on how it's supposed to be written? Who wrote it? And why wasn't it written properly?
Well, if you have a statement that you'd like to make,
please
put it in the record.
According to state law, it says, now I might be paraphrasing here, but if you're going to eliminate something, it's supposed to be in brackets. If you're going to add something new, you're supposed to underline it, which the underline it was correct. But everything that they brought out of here, they marked it through. They didn't put it in brackets. So therefore, it wasn't properly introduced and was not properly written.
Anyone else have any comments?
On that note, Mr. Griffin, does that argument have any merit with regards to this ordinance being enforceable in the future?
Well, what I recommend is that we complete the public hearing and defer the decision about when it's to be approved. And let me take a look at that.
Okay, thank you.
This would be last call. Anyone else have any comments they would like to add? Let the record show that no one else had any comments to offer. We will close the public hearing. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Mr. President, as advised by legal counsel, make a motion we defer on the ordinance until he has time to review.
I have a motion and by Mr. Rogers, second Mr. Phillips, to defer on the ordinance until Mr. Griffin reviews the legality of it, I presume. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Mr. Archie.
Good morning again. I've got with me Dan Parsons, who is our new historic planner, and we kind of wanted to introduce him to the council and kind of give you an overview of his qualifications as well as what his job responsibilities are, and then he has a project he is going to initiate here that we thought the council might find of interest. So just a little bit of background on Dan. He started back on July the 9th, 2007. His education, he has two bachelor's degrees and a master's degree. He has a bachelor in history from University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. He has a bachelor of arts also in communications from Salisbury State. And he has a master's in environmental history from Salisbury as well. His prior experience is in radio broadcasting from pretty much from broadcasting from 1998 to 2006, of which the last 5 years he was a producer and announcer for public radio Delmarva. In addition to that, the very last year since 2006, he was working for the Ward Museum as the Folk and Traditional Arts Director. His responsibilities right now with the county are he's about half of his time is to be spent on working on the records management program, which, as you know from when Jason left, he gave you a little overview of the condition of it. And so Dan has picked up where Jason left off. He's continued to be working through the records that are stored in the West Complex. He'll be looking at the records after that here in the building, so that's the primary thing. In addition to that, he is preparing to relocate the records to a more suitable location. And also, he will be working on a long-term management plan for the records so that we have something in place so that we don't our records don't end up in the same condition as they are at this time. In addition to that, about 25% of his time will be allocated to working on the engineering department's projects that require archaeological and historical reviews, like the Angola Nexanteri Sewer District, as well as things that are related to Oak Orchard, the last phase of Oak Orchard, which is Contract F, where we have the conflicts with the cemetery and the existing roadway. So he'll be looking at those things, those kind of projects specifically. In addition to that, his other 25% of his time will be devoted to public outreach, responding to public questions and needs for information. But also he has a project that he has come up with that he would like to initiate, and I'm going to let Dan explain that to you.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you for your audience.
Morning.
And I appreciate the opportunity of the challenge of the records. It's nice. But nevertheless, as Mr. Archer had stated, my life before coming to Sussex County was at the Ward Museum of Wildfowl Art. I was folklorist for Maryland's Eastern Shore. And in doing that, I was in charge of documenting, promoting, and educating people about the heritage and customs of the region. And in coming here as a historic preservation planner, part of my job, I thought that I would bring some of my skill set and apply it to the work I'm doing. And in discussions with Mr. Archit, I had told him about maybe doing an oral history project. And he acquiesced and said that he thought that would be a good idea. So I started contacting various state and local agencies. And in doing so, I talked with the Department of Agriculture and Mike McGrath, the Land Ag Lands Preservation Fund. And they said that they would donate some equipment so I could go out and do some oral histories. And then they gave me a list of Sussex Century farmers. And since July, I've kind of learned a bit about the culture here and the history of the region and the farming heritage. And I see, you know, the Sussex itself is the kind of the breadbasket of the state, and a lot of the history and heritage is tied around farming. And I thought that I would contact the Department of Agriculture, see what they had to say. Well, he then led me to the University of Delaware, and I met with Rebecca Shepherd, and then I met with the Sussex Land Trust, and I met with Del Tech, and we've come up with a project on, it's called, I guess it will be entitled Sussex Century Farmers, where I'd like to go out and do oral histories with 13 farmers of the region, one from each 100, and then do historical research and have the two universities go out and survey and document the farms, and then photography, and come up with a publication that will basically give, hopefully encompass the history of agriculture in the county, and then take that template and maybe, you know, if Kent Newcastle would like to duplicate that. But again, just I'd like to, you know, here promote the heritage of the region as it is changing, and farming is not, family farming is not essential to the customs, and it is changing dramatically. So in doing the project, it would ultimately take a snapshot of the heritage as it is now and document it as the tradition bearers are aging and such, and also allow us to kind of take in stock the history as it has changed over time. So that's basically the gist of the project. And if you have any questions.
Jim?
Questions?
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
It's 11 o'clock, public hearing, past 11 o'clock. Is that Mr. Griffin?
Public hearing on the Prince George's Acres annexation, Dagsboro, Frankford Sanitary Sewer District. Will there be someone from the engineering department who would like to begin with a presentation on this? Mr. Ashman? Will tell us what's involved here, and after Mr. Ashman makes his preliminary remarks and has answered any questions of council, we will open this up to public comment.
Good morning. In December of 2006, several property owners met with Mr. Baker, Mr. Phillips, and the Sussex County Engineering Department to discuss the possibility of extending sewer service to the balance of a subdivision known as Prince George's Acres. And also, we had another property owner submitted an annexation request for 7 lots in this community. The community in whole is Prince George's Acres, which is this entire subdivision. The part to the northwest has been previously in part of the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. The entire community has now been annexed into the town of Dagsboro. At the time when we did sewer in Dagsboro, we had some extra funds, I believe, and we reached as many properties as we could by gravity. These properties along the west side are part of the sewer district currently, but are unserved. And as part of our proposal today, we would like to serve those parcels and the entire community. In January of 2007, we held a public workshop with cost estimates, which you'll see in marked in red in the handout that I provided. We estimated the project at about $800,000 with system connection charges at that time of $5,517 and an annual estimated cost for the average home at $1,050 and a service charge of $250. Residents at that time were concerned that the impact fee and the front footage charges were much higher than they expected, with the community that's currently served as the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sewer District did not pay impact fees, and their front footage fee is $1.15, but they were served around 1993. They are concerned that their neighbors' houses may sell better if put on the market because of the lower front foot assessment. At that time, a decision was made by Sussex County Engineering Department to prepare a preliminary engineering report and environmental assessment to submit to USDA Rural Development for funding and a grant request. As a result of those efforts, we received a low-interest loan in the amount of $500,000 at 4.5% for 40 years and a grant for $500,000 from USDRD. On September 2007, we held a public meeting to report those results to the community. We also addressed the impacts that the funding that we received would have on their estimated charges. With the funding and the grants, we would be able to waive the impact fee for any existing homes in the area that we're asking to annex, and vacant lots would be required to pay the system connection charge before a building permit would be issued. We also reduced the front footage charge from $9.50 a front foot to $5.77 a front foot. The annual service charge went up a little bit just due to the estimated inflation. And the system connection fee for those vacant lots of $5,517 would go to $5,860, estimated with the inflation for the project. Annual estimated costs will reduce from $1,050 to $755 per home. In October of 2007, we sent letters to all property owners explaining the revised costs, and we included in that letter a form to be returned to us, basically asking them for their wish to be included or not to be included in the sewer district. The results of those responses received to date are 45 wish to be included, 2 do not wish to be included, and we have the 7 that I mentioned that previously requested annexation on top of that, for a total of 52 that appear to wish to be included. Of those wishing, 16 lots have existing homes, with several of those homes placed across multiple lots. On our map, the green parcels are those that we received yeses from. The blue parcels are the 7 lots that requested annexation previously. And the 2 pink parcels are those that requested to not be in the sewer district or preferred not to.
The white ones are just didn't respond?
These white ones we did not get a response from. I think there's a total of 8, if I'm right.
So they're going to be included?
Yes. Sure. We'd like to include the entire subdivision at this point in time.
Even the pink ones?
Even the pink ones.
Okay.
Any questions?
Is there anyone here from the public who would like to be heard regarding this proposed annexation of Prince George's Acres into the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District? Anyone present regarding this matter? Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized from the public. We will close the public hearing. Pleasure, gentlemen.
Read it.
Resolution to extend the boundary of the Dagsboro-Frankfurt Sanitary Sewer District to include certain lots, pieces, or parcels of land situated southwest of County Road 3 to Armory Road, west of Indian River High School, and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
So moved. So moved.
Have a motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Cole. The motion just read by Mr. Griffin. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers. Sorry, he's out of the room. Mr. Jones.
I tell the difference. Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Mr. Izzo. Good morning. How are you?
I'm going to go ahead and start talking while Dennis is working.
Gotcha.
Good morning. I have two items on my agenda this morning. The first is in regard to North Coastal Sewer Planning Area and the treatment and disposal options that are available to us. Earlier this year, the council approved the North Coastal Area Planning Study, and basically that laid out basically collection transmission options that are available for the area that basically runs from the town of Millsboro north along Route 24, includes Oak Orchard, Heron Creek area, Angola area we refer to as Gosley Creek, and then also the existing West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District. And going back several years ago, we were looking at a potential expansion of the West Rehoboth Wastewater Treatment Plant. We had a study that we performed in 1999 that indicated sometime in the future that we're going to have to expand the West Rehoboth plant. At that time, we had conversations with representatives from DENREC, not just their permitting agency, but from their funding agency. And they had asked for us to get together with the city of Rehoboth and have conversations with the city to see if there were some joint wastewater options that would be available, just because they had potentially could be more cost effective. So as we were going through the North Coastal Planning Area study, we actually included those potential options in the study that we were performing solely for Sussex County. At this point, I would like to make a couple of introductions. I have Dennis Hassan. Dennis has appeared before you on numerous occasions. He's from the firm of Whitman Reckwart and Associates, and they perform the North Coastal Planning Area study. But I also have Mr. Thor Young. Thor is from the firm of Stearns and Wheeler, and they most recently performed the design of the plant expansion of the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. But I also would like to make some introductions from the city of Rehoboth. We have Mayor Sam Cooper and town manager Greg Farish.
Kevin Donnelly's here too.
Oh, Kevin here?
And Greg Pope.
And Greg.
I'm sorry, I was told that Kevin wasn't going to be here. So Kevin, thank you. Kevin Donnelly from DENREC, Division of Water Resources, and we have Greg Pope, the most important man because he provides funding for most of our projects.
Move him up front.
Move up front, please.
Please.
At this point, we're going to go through a short PowerPoint presentation. Dennis is going to provide the presentation, and then we'll answer any questions that the council might have.
Thank you. I want to talk about today, we're here to talk about the North Coastal Planning Area Treatment and Disposal Alternatives, and this summary is a composite of, you know, some pretty exhaustive studies to look through this planning area. I want to focus on the area we're talking about is in essence bounded by Route 24, the Atlantic Ocean. It contains, you know, existing sanitary sewer districts along Neck West Rehoboth, and also future planning areas. Recently, Angola Neck had a sanitary sewer district passed. Oak Orchard's existing. But again, we're also looking at not only the immediate wastewater treatment and disposal needs for the planning area, but also the future. Here are the planning areas that come up. And I want to talk about the treatment plants here. also to include it in this discussion is the city of Rehoboth, and also Dewey Beach and Henlopen Acres, which are also served by the facilities that Sussex County operates, and also the city of Rehoboth. In essence, this entire planning area is currently served with three wastewater treatment facilities. The Wolf Neck facility in the north, which treats the West Rehoboth area. The city of Rehoboth's wastewater treatment plant, which again serves Dewey Beach, Henlopen Acres, and the city of Rehoboth, and also the Inland Bays facility down to the south where the county recently acquired additional land there. Again, I want to reiterate, not only do we have to look at what's needed immediately, but also for the future. This is the West Rehoboth area. You can see right now there's a current treatment and disposal capacity of 3.1, and you're seeing flows of about 2.1. But we have a phased planning program to expand that capacity to 6.1. Ultimately, you'll need 12.9. In addition, the Inland Bays facility, you have a current treatment and disposal capacity of 1.4. seeing about 1.1. But again, we looked at phase expansions over the next 10 to 20 years. They'll eventually take that to 3.8 on land that you all currently own, then ultimately to 12.7. And this is, the city of Rehoboth is in addition to this. We, in essence, looked at several things, but we focused on two alternatives. The first alternative is to take the planning areas north of Angola Neck, send them to the Wolf Neck facility, Gosley Creek, and the areas around in the West Rehoboth area, and then Henlopen Acres, Rehoboth, and Dewey, which currently go to the Rehoboth plant, and then to pump those into a common ocean outfall for the treatment and disposal of those areas. The areas to the south of Angola Neck, Herring Creek, Long Neck, and Oak Orchard would all be treated at the Inland Bays facility. A second alternative would be to have the areas that are currently served by the existing city of Rehoboth plant continue to go that way, and then we would take facilities, areas that are currently served by Wolf Neck, and then pump those south to the Inland Bays facility, again, the land that is owned by Sussex County for treatment and disposal there. Now, when you compare these alternatives one to another, I want to point out that, this cost you see is for four separate programs here. One is the Rehoboth Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant, improvements in ocean outfall, the phase one expansion of Wolf Neck, and two phase expansions of Inland Bays. So, in essence, there's four separate programs that make up this total. If you look at the total, that would be the responsibility of Sussex County, approximately, $113.4 million with a $14.1 million for the city of Rehoboth. And when you can compare that against taking those existing districts and sending them south, and sort of Rehoboth Beach goes on their own with the existing areas that are served, Henlopen and Dewey, the cost for the overall project increase, Sussex County's costs are actually somewhat less, while the city of Rehoboth's go up. Again, I'd like to point out, looking at these alternatives, they're within engineering accuracy of each other, but again, just want to point out the differences here. When you look at alternative one versus alternative two, you can see that alternative one is a little more expensive for Sussex County when compared with alternative two. The difference is about $10.6 million. You can see the city of Rehoboth's costs increased by about $15.8 million between the one alternative to the other, with a net change of $5.2 million. The preferred alternative, based on recent discussions, would be to keep the cost as low as they can be for both entities, which is alternative two for Sussex County at $102.8 million, $14.1 million for Rehoboth, which would leave an unfunded portion to be funded jointly by the city of Rehoboth and the state of Delaware at approximately $10.6 million. This is included in your total of $127.5 million for the less expensive alternative. Again, how does this happen? This is a capital improvement program. You can see that this is phased over many years. Initially, in the immediate years, 2008, 2009, you're looking at studies that have to be done, specifically for the ocean outfall, coastal zone studies, in addition to additional design work for the phase expansions of Wolf Neck and Inland Bays. Then you get into 2009 through 2013, the heavy construction years, when these facilities are being built. And I'd like to point out the phase two expansion of the Inland Bays. Right now that's programmed for 2013, but that's entirely flow dependent. If the flows are such that Inland Bays is keeping up with the flows, that may be adequate beyond the year 2025 and beyond. So again, I just want to point that out. So at this point in time, we're available for questions. Thank you.
What kind of money have we spent on acquiring additional lands? What is that? Is that included in any of this calculation? We made the investment already, Mike, at Inland Bays.
$28 million.
Yeah, it was $28 million. But in these costs that we're presenting today, they don't show up in. We were trying to do an apples to apples presentation so you could look at the actual capital costs. And I should mention that these are planning level numbers. I mean, we would rather be very conservative with our numbers and come back later and do it less expensive than to.
But let me just
come in and tell you.
The question that comes to my mind is We were making plans for Inland Bays, and then we went out and expended $28 million to acquire more land, or is that the total amount? What is that?
The $28 million acquired, we acquired 2,100 acres. We're going to use...
In addition to what we already had.
In addition to what we already have. And the presentation, for example, if we're looking at the next 20, 25 years of capacity, which is outlined by this presentation, we're going to use about, 700 acres.
That's good.
Probably about 700 acres of that 2,100 acres that we purchased.
Okay.
We then have the option, obviously, we're going to need to grow in the future. But you're right, there's some acreage that might become available if we wanted to help another municipality or someone that needed some help.
But
it doesn't answer that question.
Okay,
you
but
are correct.
We spent a couple years back, we spent the $28 million. And who's paying for that? The users?
The users
pays for that.
Are the part of it's paid for through the West Rehoboth District, part of it's paid through Long Neck and Orchard Sewer Districts, and we've used some realty transfer tax to help repay debt
so
for that.
Basically the users and okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But so then when we're looking at these numbers here, there was still $28 million spent a couple years back as part of our that we can't.
That's correct.
I mean, I don't know how we can forget that. So we don't. I think we need to be.
I think
cognizant.
What Mike was trying to tell us though is it's XYZ dollars is XYZ dollars. I mean, so you
that's know, what we would spend from this point on.
One's going to be way out of kilter if the other one. That's cash gone, for lack of better words.
But we wouldn't have maybe needed. I mean, the reason we bought the 2,000 acres is because we were looking at our long range plan, Finley, because we were going to acquire all this
picture,
stuff in our growth. But we wouldn't have needed.
At the time, it was a lot of money.
We wouldn't have needed.
I guess what? We got it now, and we're going to be, if the outfall or whatever may happen, we'll be set, or whoever, will be for a long, long time for distribution, and who knows what it's going to be like in the future.
Right.
The concern that was mentioned is that there's a difference in cost between the two alternatives for the county of $10.6 million. And we've had a number of meetings trying to look at that and try to come up with a way. And I have another handout here. But this what we were looking at is and considering is the possibility of Rehoboth or the state funding some additional monies to make it an even playing field, so to speak, from the county standpoint.
Well, if we, for us to go in and do something that would cost $10 more million, the users will be picking that $10 million up. So we've got to, do a good job in spending their money, we got to be concerned about the $10 million. So you say that if they could even this playing field is what we're trying to do.
Right. What we looked at is, are there ways to even it up so that the county's net cost is the same, whether it's outfall or spray irrigation?
Right.
And what we did is look at a number of different options. We've talked with the USDA. They've indicated that we could possibly anticipate a $5 million grant for the program, but that would would be a county, that would be as a result of the county's MHI, the West Rehoboth Sewer District and Inland Bay Area Sewer Districts. The city of Rehoboth was not eligible for that funding. We looked at the possibility of if the state started again with state grants. We talked to Mr. Donnelly, and of course, this would be a General Assembly decision.
Don't hold your breath.
It's nothing. And they have not, the last 2 years, they have not funded grants for wastewater. But on number two, it shows an option if the state granted $1 million a year and it was shared equally between the city and the county. It shows a net cost there of $22.2 million for the city and $95.3 for the county. And again, these are planning numbers, and I think that if growth continues at slower rates than what we've seen, that slower rates similar to what we see right now, some of this could be put off to, you know, eventually we think it will happen, but it will take a number of years before we really have to do parts of this project or these projects. And then we looked at another option with state grants at $2 million a year. Again, sharing equally, this would all be the state's decision and the effect on the project. So I guess we kind of looked at that $10 million to even up the playing field. If that was the option the county wanted to take, that a couple of ways would be to negotiate with Rehoboth, and another way would be to use the use of state grants.
Any further questions before we see if the public has any comments?
I got, the bottom line is somewhere down the line we're having problems with the spray. Is that what it is?
It's not that we're having problems.
With discharge?
We need to expand and provide additional capacity to deal with the growth that we're seeing, and we're looking ahead. And again, as I mentioned, you know, going back 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had gotten together with DENREC and Farmers Home and City of Rehoboth, and even the City of Lewis was included at that time. It was promoted that we try to look at these joint solutions, because trying to get a lower overall funding opportunity, and by working together, we might benefit all the parties involved.
I agree.
Would we need more land if we did spray irrigation than what we've got?
Well,
we got enough land for...
We would need more land at Wolf Neck, so that's why we looked at the option of going to the ocean outfall. The other option is that we pump to the inland bays, where we do have additional land. We had hoped to work with Parks and Recreation in the close vicinity of the Wolf Neck plant, but there was some public outcry last spring about that possibility, so that seems like that's probably off the table at this point.
Well, we do have enough land at inland bays for spray irrigation.
Right.
Correct. When
do we reach capacity now at Wolf Neck?
Would you estimate?
I think around 2015 is a concern. I think we're good through 2015.
And the reason is, like, currently right now with the growth that we've experienced and with the growth that we've approved, it's on the books.
Down to, what do you call it?
You're still saying that estimate.
We're seeing growth of about 1,000 EDUs per year.
Cost is over.
Okay. And that might flatten out a little bit with the economy. But if we saw it at 1,000 EDUs per year, we should be good through 2015.
With our existing facility?
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of that is because we've increased we have a lot of AR land, and we're bringing it up to four units to the acre many times. We're seeing that's the increase?
Well, I'm looking more just across the West Rehoboth district that we're seeing. We're regardless of whether it's rezonings or just filling out existing lots, we're seeing 1,000 new EDUs every year.
Okay.
Is any of this deal strictly with discharge that we're doing? It doesn't deal with...
We have treatment. For example, Wolf Neck is a lagoon treatment system right now. Right. We're spray irrigating.
Right.
If we did go to the ocean outfall, then we have to provide a higher level of treatment.
Right, secondary.
If we pumped out to Inland Bay, then we can make use of the existing treatment technology. But then you got further pumping costs being offset by having to pump further.
Are you saying that the difference in ocean outfall and pumping to inland bays is $10 million? Is that the difference?
Yes.
Yes. And it's all the projects, if you look at expanding inland bays, expanding Wolf Neck, pumping both ways, this all, and looking at the city of Rehoboth.
$10 million for the city of Rehoboth.
That's right. That's actually just our Sussex County cost. I should correct myself there. That doesn't include the city of Rehoboth upgrade, but
from the county standpoint, it's estimated to be $10 million more expensive to go in with Rehoboth on an outfall versus spray irrigation.
Right.
The other option is spray irrigate at the Long Neck area, at Inland Bays. Yeah.
Well, then Mayor Cooper's going to have to raise the price of his parking meters.
Don't pick on Sam.
Any more questions before we hear from the public? Thank you, gentlemen. Now's the opportunity for members of the public, anyone who is here who would like to speak in regard to this matter, to come forward, state your name, your address, and make your statement.
My name is Sonny Bono. I live in Lincoln. Now, as living in an unincorporated area, and we pay for our own septic tanks, we have nothing to do with the areas of the incorporated towns that are looking for the county's help. My question is, what is going to be the increase in tax on people per se? I'm looking at 100-something million. Now, I don't use any of this.
Okay. You're not in the sewer district.
No, I know that. But I'm saying is, am I going to be paying for all this?
No.
That's my question.
That's okay. Why you're not in the sewer district.
That's my question, is that, you know, what is the taxpayer going to pay for this? I'm just
It's within the sewer district. Them colors up there, you're not in.
If you flushed and knows that color area, you pay.
Okay. Okay, that's why I'm saying is, what is the taxpayer going to pay on this? Thank you.
Anyone else who'd like to be heard regarding this proposal? Anyone else at all?
Well, I guess you're meeting, Dave, you're meeting with the town tonight, is that
tonight,
right?
Tonight, the city council has a meeting. I know Mike and I are planning on attending to discuss the same subject.
They want to speak now?
Would you like to speak? Would you like to speak, Sam?
Just bring your checkbook up, Sam. That's all you got.
You got the checkbook.
I guess the one thing that I would like to clarify is when we talk about the city of Rehoboth Beach, and there's two connotations there. There's the city of Rehoboth Beach, the entity, and there's the Rehoboth Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant. And, you know, the figures that you have been generated by the county, and quite frankly, I'm trying to understand them, and, you know, it's not easy, and that's no criticism. But I think what you've got to understand, too, is that while the figures show that it's actually $10 million more costly to the county, that is comprised across three or four sewer districts. If we go it alone, the Dewey Beach actually doubles too. So they're going to be paying, according to your figures, $7.9 million more. So it's shifting within your own county from one district to the other, some of that. So I think you need to keep that in mind. And clearly, you know, I think the city is willing to negotiate with the county because part of the key to the outfall, I think, is it has tremendous capacity, all of which is not needed up front, but it's there for future. And how that is handled, I think, is important. But, you know, I'm not going to negotiate as the mayor of Rehoboth for the city itself, the entity of the city, to pay more and Dewey Beach gets a ride. I mean, if we're going to pay more, then Dewey Beach, everybody that contributes waste to the Rehoboth treatment plant is going to have to pay more. It's not going to be just the city of Rehoboth Beach, because I think that would be totally unfair to our people. So I guess part of that problem is that if the plant contributes more, then Dewey Beach contributes more, so you only get about less than two-thirds of the benefit. If the city treatment plant kicks in $3 million more, $2 million comes from the city, $1 million from the county, so you've only recognized actually a $2 million benefit to this $10 million. And just keep that in mind, in the fact that, you know, within the county, you're shifting from district to district, and the fact that I think, the outfall provides tremendous capacity into the future
for a lot of people.
I got a question, Sam.
Sure.
You're under the gun, right, with a time frame?
What is
that time frame?
The TMDL was passed, I believe, in November of 1998. We messed with the state for a couple of years negotiating, and we were waiting for the PCS process, which still hasn't played out. But finally, time slips by, but a couple of years ago, we finally nailed it down, and we have a consent order that we have to remove the discharge from the canal by late December 2014.
Okay, 14. Okay, so we got a few years. I'm looking at this map, I'm sitting here looking like we're still piecemealing some of this stuff. We have Lewis right on the top edge there, and Lewis discharges where?
To the canal.
To the canal, right? So they're going to have problems, I would think, in the future with that discharge?
Well, they had the option way back when, I think.
Well, I'm not worried about options and way in the past, I'm thinking, but Finley, I'm just worried about, we're looking at so much money now, and we've got just two entities, the county and Rehoboth, looking at this. I mean, I don't know why we're not bringing in more of a regional approach. You've got Milton, you got probably Lewis, you got Georgetown and Millsboro. We've got X amount of land, and this outfall is going to have a great capacity. South Coastal handles that whole southeastern corner of Sussex County with one discharge. I don't know why we're not looking at something a little more regional, and then the cost wouldn't be so, borne so much by the county or Rehoboth.
I don't disagree with you, George, but obviously, time you bring in another entity, you don't just... It's not linear how the problems go up. They're exponential.
Well, I know it gets difficult, but I'm just saying, I mean, everybody's still treating things. I'm thinking that, we got this outfall. We don't treat it, but Selbyville treats their stuff, and we just get the discharge out into the ocean.
Right.
And a lot of these things we've been doing with South Coastal have seemed to be working. We have X amount of capacity. Again, once they start this outfall, if it gets approved, the capacity of the pipe, it probably costs as much to put a small pipe in as a big pipe, right?
Virtually,
and so the cost there is negligible. So if Lewis is still treating, maybe Georgetown's still treating, there may be an opportunity to send some of Rehoboth. I mean, Georgetown could look at some of our inland bays, or Millsboro could look at our inland bays, and then Lewis could be looking at the outfall. I mean, we're not approaching this, I think, because of the amount of money that's on the table now. I mean,
we have had initiated those type of conversations. Well, getting back to the big picture for the ocean outfall, Sam and I did try to meet with the city of Lewis way back when, but we just could not get them to commit to any path forward. So we were standing around waiting.
They're not under the gun to Sam, is it? Until these bodies like our own are under some kind of pressure, really nothing happens. So, I mean, I think the conversations are going to have to,
Lewis has been under the gun.
Yeah.
Well, they
chose their own path. They went their own way, they didn't want to be the part of any joint regional approach. Now, one advantage is if we did take Wolfneck to the ocean outfall, and you asked about the landed inland bays, then all of a sudden that does become a viable option if we don't use everything right away for City of Georgetown or Millsboro or even Milton, although I think Milton's going their own way too.
Well, it just concerned, we're talking a lot of money, and most of these costs are passed on to the users. The users, I mean, we're sitting here approving more and more development, the county does. And we either got to hold the line on increasing density, therefore not needing so much capacity and everything else. It all's linked together, and we just keep approving stuff. And we're going to need all this stuff, but then it puts the financial burden on those users. And it's just somewhere along the line, we've got to look at this differently, I think. I don't know.
The outfall, though, that we're planning, it could, if, I mean, we certainly, the way you guys plan, the way we look at things, we're looking 25 years.
The outfall itself, it's just the pipe, and the cost of the pipe, whether you do 20 inches or 30 inches or 40 inches,
right.
It doesn't really change a whole lot. But going through the whole process and getting the design and paying for the actual laying of the pipe in the ocean, that's the costly pipe.
Absolutely.
So you have opportunities to size that pipeline based upon a lot of things that Mr. Cole's bringing up, and we can deal with that during the design process.
And the county, we're in pretty good shape. It's Rehoboth is really under the gun because they're kind of surrounded by us, and you're in that little corner, and you've got to do something. And it's either come
also,
to us or go out in the ocean.
But they're treating some of our waste, as Sam said.
Don't forget you have a responsibility to Dewey Beach and Hennepin Acres.
We got two thirds of the
keep that in mind, too.
I understand what you're saying.
We're on both sides of the street, so to speak.
Right. Mike, what's the we're at a turning point here, which way to go, outfall or spirrigation. And right now, fiscally, spirrigation looks more inviting to us, even though it's a bigger picture. But what does Denrac play? They don't care if you dump in the ocean or you spray it on the field.
Oh, they're going to be.
Hold up, Kevin. Donnelly there. You can bring your checkbook, too, Kevin. Come on.
Because I was just surprised that Melton was allowed to continue to dump into the Broad Kill River when they has a private entity coming in that it should be doing a treatment plan. It just, people were just kind of surprised. Yes, sir.
Kevin Donnelly, Director of Water Resources. Which question do you want me to respond to?
All of them.
All the above.
The county operates South Coastal Treatment Plant, which discharges into the ocean. Clearly, when we've communicated this to the city, and we know everybody who's been participating in these discussions knows that obtaining a permit, it'll be both a state and a federal permit, to construct this ocean outfall, it's going to be challenging, no question. Lots of
the environmental community also is going to be, like with the canal, they're going to be.
It's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
No question. So, that's a reality that we all face, and I can't predict the outcome.
But direction of which way we're going, which way do you prefer if you had your druthers of going the ocean or going spray irrigation?
Well, both are permittable options.
Right.
Councilman, and so, there's a public process that lets the public weigh in to what's acceptable. We permit both as long as all the conditions are met. So, I think, to be fair to all the jurisdictions and to the process, that's how I have to best articulate it. We permit your plant. We permit many spray operations up and down the state. And we'll give this one a fair hearing when a decision is made. And to get to your question, Councilman Cole, about Lewis, as Mr. Izzo mentioned, we spent several years, probably beginning not long after I started in this job, with Lewis and Rehoboth and the council and the county around the table. Lewis was faced, and maybe Mr. Rogers is aware of this since Lewis is in his district, Lewis was faced with needing to upgrade their plant sooner rather than later. Right. They couldn't wait until now. They've invested substantial amounts of money in their treatment plant and have installed state-of-the-art treatment. Only Laurel, to comply with the Chesapeake Bay program, only Laurel has that level of treatment in the state. And, I was telling the town manager, Greg Farese, 95% of Lewis's outfall doesn't even go into Rehoboth Bay. Ends out going out ultimately into the ocean. Okay, whereas 100% of Rehoboth's discharge ends up in Rehoboth Bay. And so, that was some of the engineering decisions that came into our decision to allow Lewis, again, with enhanced level of treatment. They still have about 5% that they, in terms of their load, that they have to deal with under the TMDL. So they're not scot-free. And it's the same sort of scenarios that the city has been examining. I want to also applaud and, Administrator Baker and Mike Izzo's work on your behalf, okay? They've represented your interests and the needs of Sussex County very well. They've done some really good financial analysis. I would encourage us to keep our options open at this point. And let's keep talking. Certainly, there are funding challenges that the state has in trying to support this effort, no matter which way it goes. As Dave Baker and Mike have intimated, our goal, the state's goal, is to try to make this cost neutral for the county.
How about alternative three? Why don't we see an alternative three where maybe we take Rehoboth, Dewey, and Henlop and Eggers and bring them our way? What is
We did do that.
Where are the numbers on that?
I don't know if we have them. We probably don't have them on the PowerPoint, Dennis, but we do have those, and it ran up significantly higher. I'm going to say it increased the cost by about 25% beyond either of these two alternatives. We looked at taking everything from Inland Bay, and the difficulty is that we weren't able to share a pipeline going from a common pipeline from Wolf Neck and the city of Rehoboth, because City of Rehoboth already has their existing wastewater treatment plant where everything's clean to a particular level. Right. So they would basically be pumping clean wastewater all the way out to the Inland Bay site, where Wolf Neck, we don't have enough treatment capacity there, so we were going to have to expand and build a new treatment plant.
But if they're just...
If we were going to share a force main, or we would pump basically dirty water from the Wolf Neck site out to Inland Bay to be clean there. So we couldn't share a pipeline unless we built another level of treatment plant at the Wolf Neck site. So that's kind of why it
just
didn't
to treat.
Work.
In other words, they're what's coming out of their plant, we can't spray irrigate.
That's
No. The problem is ours is clean, yours is dirty. Right. And to mix those would just defeat what we had done.
So we'd have to treat it again when we got to Inland Bay.
But if you're just pumping clean water that requires smaller pumps, smaller diameter pipes, smaller everything.
No. It's the amount of water you pump, not how dirty it is.
Yeah.
Volume of it?
Volume. That's the problem with West Rehoboth.
So if we, right now, if we don't choose the ocean outfall option, we're going to continue to spray irrigate at Wolf Neck about 3 MGD. But anything beyond that, we're going to pump out the Inland Bay and have one common wastewater treatment plant expansion there. So based upon that being our cheapest alternative, we couldn't share a pipeline with these guys. We'd have to build two pipelines, one for the dirty wastewater from Wolf Neck, one for the clean wastewater from City Rehoboth's plant. So, and it's trying to cost higher than any of these two options.
Put it in the same ditch? I mean, trench, can't we?
You have to coordinate things perfectly.
I know, but when we go through, like Kevin was talking about, when we go through the engineering, the regulatory process to try to get an ocean outfall, you're talking millions of dollars just to try to get that approval process.
And we have that incorporated in our cost that we provide.
Because I would think a lot of that money could be, you know, spent maybe smarter if we just redirected everything out, spray irrigation. We got 2,000 acres.
And it's not going to be easy to pump from the City of Rehoboth West. You got to go on, you got a directional drill under the Lewis Rehoboth Canal. You've got to take it out Route 1, you know, in that congested area. Maybe get to Route 24, and if you're coming to Inland Bay, then you're going down Route 24, and that's a tough haul, too. But
the cost estimate was like $35 million more in total from Whitman Record to
maybe
do.
That's why we don't have alternative three then.
We had them. We just didn't present those today, but we can go ahead and distribute those.
How about alternative four?
We did have an alternative four. It was some twist on the same thing.
Deep well injection?
Deep well injection.
That was the other one. Just to take the Rehoboth plant completely offline. And I think then we're going to pump at the Wolf Neck and then share a force main from there.
Then we have to build all new treatment capacity down in the bays.
And deep, and like I was making a joke, but deep well injection's been rejected as not proven. not a viable way to take, like,
that's what's going to be presented tonight. When we looked at deep well injection, you're probably aware that Millsboro looked at that and they went to 1,500 feet and couldn't find an aquifer. Right. We think that you're looking at 5,000 to 10,000 feet, and you know the figures that our engineers came up with were like we needed 20 wells at $5 million a well, and it just
investigate the viability. Millsboro spent $900,000 drilling a well to 1,500 feet. And really, I'm with Sam. I think you need to go down to at least 3,000 feet. So then you're probably talking about $1.5 million just to see if it's viable or not.
Can we ask everybody to take a gallon jug home with them when they leave?
But, Kevin, with alternative four, that's not even a viable solution in your eyes, because with all other options, that's a last resort. You live on an island before you basically...
Well, we work with Millsboro on their evaluation of deep well injection, and as Mike said, you know, they spent a lot of money trying to get there.
It didn't work.
Sam's team, his engineering team, looked at deep well injection. It was the most expensive of the four options they looked at, almost by a doubling of the cost. So,
it's still a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
Well, we sound like we have a challenge here.
That's why we're all here.
That's why you get the big money, George.
That's right. Y'all make a decision, keep moving, right?
If it was easy, anybody could do it, right?
You're right, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
What do you think of your number one constituent, Sam, up here?
You got,
Got
are, you with, are you done with this one, Mr. Izzo?
You ought to work on him, Sam.
Yeah, I have,
you got
one
number two?
I just have to collect my papers. I'm sorry, I kind of got...
Okay, my second item. Is in regard to a proposed change order. This is for one of the contracts for the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It's for contract 0506-B. Basically, I've handed out a map, and this particular map calls for the installation of sewer on SR 26. And if you see the road that runs east to west, that's SR 26. The road that kind of runs off to the northwest on, as far as drawing is concerned, that's Old Mill Road. That's the road that's adjacent to the food line. And our original proposal was that this would be one contract. And we were referring to this as the SR 26 contract. Basically, it would take sewer from our existing pump station down Old Mill Road. We'd make a right-hand turn on SR 26 and go up SR 26. But meeting with the business owners from the town of Millville that would be affected by this construction, they asked if we could compress our time frame for being out in SR 26 so it didn't affect their businesses. One of the things that we looked at is trying to start in December of 2007. That would be very beneficial to them. The way it turned out, we weren't able to get a SR 26 contract out on the street fast enough that we would be able to initiate construction in December. So the next best idea was for us to pick up that pink section that's labeled December of 2007, remove that from the SR 26 contract that we're bidding, and put that into an existing contract. We have an existing contract with Teal Construction. We refer to it as the Millville B contract. So we asked for a price from Teal Construction to do that section of work. And basically, most of these prices are already documented in their bid. We're able to make use of all their unit prices with the exception of the 15-inch sewer line that would be installed. All the manhole prices were the same. All the cleanouts were the same. All the laterals were the same. Nonetheless, the proposed change order is a change order in the amount of $74,000, but in reality, it's just picking up a section of work that would have been in the SR 26 contract and relocating it to the Teal contract.
Can we do that, Mr. Griffin, without bidding it?
How much is it now?
It's $73,900, and asked that question to Mr. Robertson, and we got back a positive response. Okay. We didn't include Mr. Griffin in the conversation, but Mr. Robertson did sign off on it.
It's based on the per unit prices.
Yeah, we already had all the unit prices, with the exception of the 15-inch sewer. Was 15-inch sewer not contained in the existing Millville B price, and we got a unit price of $115 per linear foot, and that's actually less than what we're estimating for SR 26. So we got a good price back from Teal, and they're more than willing to do the work.
That's the one you're talking about there?
It would be the section of pink here on Old Mill Road. We don't want to put Teal out on SR 26. Okay. They're just going to be working on Old Mill Road next to the food line. And then we're opening up bids tomorrow on the SR 26 portion, and we'll know who that contractor is. But with opening up bids tomorrow, we couldn't start in December.
We couldn't, okay. So you're going to do this little section, kind of piecemeal, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and then the colors just represent, you know, just trying to present something to the business owner so they had an idea when we would be in front of their business. For example, the yellow will be out in January, weather permitting. But we allowed for a reasonable production rate from the crew. We'll only have one crew out there. We're going to have one lane open at all times. And, you know, it's going to be tough on the businesses, but in our meeting we had with them last week, I think they feel like this is the best option that we've presented. We've met with the business owners on three different occasions since last May.
So this April 08 is wrap-up time?
That's,
so really before it gets hot and heavy, everybody be out of
there? We'll be out of there. Now, we will have to work around Easter a little bit. We may have to move the contract off and not work that week. But this seems viable, and then we'll come back next year. Based upon how successful this operation is, we may come back and do the second half next year, same period.
Right.
You got a motion?
Okay. Yeah. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and its consultant, Whitman Reckwarden Associates, LLP, that the change order number one for Sussex County contract number 05-06B, Banks Harbor, Mill Run, and Miscellaneous Southern Extensions with Teal Construction be approved, which increases the contract by the amount of $73,971. For a new contract total of $3,910,003, and this is contingent upon the receipt of approval from the Financial Assistance Branch of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control.
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips. The motion just read by Mr. Izzo. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Based upon the recommendation of our legal staff, which says it can be done, my vote yes, motion's passed.
Thanks, Mike.
Grant request.
Just one grant today for Hoboth Elementary School. Mr. Cole?
Yeah, let's see. Where, what can we take that from? Discretionary funding?
Council Matic or your community improvement, but how much are you...
I will do a, they want to do the auditorium.
It's an open request, but yeah, they want to do the auditorium.
$500.
We can do it Council-matic.
Okay.
I think would be appropriate.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Phillips to give $500 as Council-matic to the Hoboth Elementary School. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Proposed ordinance is Mr. Griffin. Proposed ordinances.
I get all the requests.
We've got a few proposed ordinances.
All right.
An ordinance to delete or modify conditions imposed in ordinance 1455 for conditional use 1379, the application of Rubino Sea Chase LLC.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 general commercial district. Certain parcel of land lying in being Broad Creek 100 Sussex County containing 2.708 acres, more or less, Hertrick Properties.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MR medium density residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for certain parcels of land in Lewis Rehoboth 100 Sussex County containing 11,033 square feet for the Rehoboth Beach Film Society.
Go ahead, Mr. Rogers.
I'll introduce it.
That's all the proposed ordinances.
Additional business? No additional business.
Make a motion. We go into executive session
for pending
one potential litigation.